Welcome to the Veterinary Today podcast produced by the Illinois State Veterinary Medical Association, or the ISVMA. Veterinary Today was created to share current trends and developments from newsmakers in the profession and to share information so veterinary professionals can better serve their clients and pets and livestock and manage their practice and to establish a more informed, knowledgeable, and engaged clinic staff. Hi, I'm Joey McLaughlin, your podcast moderator, and I'm joined once again by Dr. Joanne Carlson, owner and operator of Loving Care Animal Clinic in Palatine and president of the ISVMA's Board of Directors, who's also your Veterinary Today podcast host. Hello, Dr. Carlson.
Hi, Joey. So good to be back with you and our listeners. Hey, here's a fun fact. Do you know that our podcast has reached interest of listeners way beyond Illinois?
Well, I can imagine. Yeah, absolutely. The power of the internet, right?
You know, exactly. We've had our episodes downloaded by listeners in Europe, South Asia, Africa, South America, including listeners here in the U.S., of course. Always fascinating to learn where we're being heard, and I'm so glad that what we discuss on our podcast is relevant to so many people from other parts of the world.
Yeah, it's interesting when you consider the podcast's download statistics. Fascinating, and we welcome all of our global listeners wherever they happen to be listening today.
Exactly. And, you know, coincidentally, today's guest is quite the global tracker, Joey. I'm thrilled to have Dr. Ryan with us. And while he's not performing his duties as a professional service veterinarian with Antech Diagnostics, he is providing continuing education and consultation for veterinary hospitals throughout the U.S. Dr. Brad Ryan is also a professional circuit speaker and has really been an up-and-coming, you know, event planner, writer, and a mental health advocate for the veterinary profession. As you know, we have really had a difficult time in the veterinary profession. We actually have a whole group that is really there about, it's called Not One More Veterinarian. And mental health has been a really, really challenging thing for us. So you could say that Dr. Ryan has been on many journeys in his life, speaking on the need for a national conversation about mental health in our profession in efforts to help us all prevent burnout. To promote the work-life balance that I know I personally strive for as a mother and a practice owner, and to really improve the culture within veterinary medicine, because the goal is to, you know, reduce the adverse mental health outcomes and, unfortunately, suicide, which is at a very high rate in our profession. I know that the female veterinarians have a 3 times higher rate than the average U.S. female and the male veterinarians as well. And it's something that I've really thought about and tried to be present and tried to help others. And as the state of Illinois president this year, that has been one of my platforms, is addressing mental health concerns and really being, on board with that. But on a personal level, Dr. Ryan has also journeyed literally and figuratively with his 93-year-old grandma. How cool is that? Grandma Joy, I have been following them for the past several years. Unbeknownst to me, Dr. Ryan was a veterinarian. They visited every national park in the country, and that's 63 national parks from what I was just looking at, not only for fun, but also for healing his relationship with his grandmother and setting an example that it's never too late in life to be adventurous. He's been featured on all forms of media on this journey that has captured my attention. And actually, Joey, he has 103,000 followers on Instagram. That is remarkable. So welcome, Dr. Ryan, to Veterinary Today. I'm just thrilled to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm thrilled to have this conversation with you.
Me too. Yeah. Look forward to it. I also know that you're going to be speaking at the Illinois State Veterinary Association Conference on Saturday. So we are really looking forward to having you.
Thank you. I'm trying to make sure that it's a good balance of serious, but also fun.
Exactly.
And, I think we're going to have some laughter along the way too, which is always welcome.
Wonderful. Laughter makes everything better, right? So, you know, let's just talk, Dr. Ryan. You know, can you just share with me and all of us why you chose the veterinary profession? What attracted you to work with animals and kind of start your journey?
Well, if we want to go back to the very beginning, you know, my first memory on earth was being on a beach during a fishing trip with my family. And I was on a beach with Grandma Joy and my mom. And I remember seeing the seagulls circling around my head, and they landed right in front of our feet. And that was sort of my introduction to conscious life on earth. And I was just immediately sucked into that love of nature. I think partly just because of my own soul, and also seeing the joy and the purity of that moment through my grandmother's eyes and my mom's eyes. And so my mom only took that so far. She wouldn't get in the stream with me and catch frogs, but Grandma Joy would. And so that love of animals goes way back. I mean, I learned on the road trip with my grandmother that when she was a girl, her father was at a coal mine picking up coal so that they could run the stove at their house. And there was a pony that had sores on its back and they were going to shoot it. And my Grandma Joy's mother said, "You get back there and get that pony back to the house." And she nursed it back to health. She was obviously not a veterinarian, but she had what it took to get that pony back on the road to health. And Tony the pony on the farm until his dying day. And I just, hearing that story and a story that I wouldn't have known had I not been on the road with Grandma Joy, really, for me, solidifies the importance of having those kinds of conversations so that you understand that maybe who you are is not entirely up to chance. It might have a lot to do with those traditions that are handed down through the line of your family. And so I think that's part of it. And just being constantly supported along the way. At one point, my room looked like a zoo. I had every animal on earth in my bedroom, and my mom put up with it. And I also grew up next to the wilds, which was the really lucky piece of it. So I got to work in a rhino barn when I was a teenager, and veterinarians who had done rhino dehorning projects in Zimbabwe. So from the time I was a teenager, I was really thinking big about what I wanted to do with my life.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I can remember my earliest memory was probably about five. And the only thing I ever wanted in the world was a pet. And we had been living in an apartment prior to five. And that was the first thing. And I remember getting my first cat. And I just thought, this is what my calling is. And I used to dress that poor cat up and have tea parties with it. And at one point I had seven cats and three dogs in a small Chicago bungalow. So I completely understand that. And I did some work in a younger time at the Lincoln Park Zoo. So although I've not been to Africa, I did see your post of you and Grandma Joy. And what a remarkable thing when you just said that, you know, something about bringing joy, and you have a Grandma Joy. What a blessing to have this lady in your life and as a nurturing, you know, family member. That is just incredible. I really applaud that. So, you know, I think the biggest thing we need to talk about, you know, for this, you know, time is, what do you think needs to be discussed at the college level about mental health? It's just so much more than academic prowess. I did speak to the first year students recently at University of Illinois, which we have a very large class, 160 students. And I emphasize that, you know, going through our veterinary classic career in school is so much more. I said, I would like you to reach out and look at the people next to you, because they are your family for the next 4 years. Whether you like them or not, you will need them. And we have to rely on each other. And I stress the fact that, yes, there are times that it's going to be overwhelming, but to find some sort of balance. I know when I was in veterinary school, I used to teach step aerobics. And it sounds silly, but it was a way for me to burn off a little steam, as my father would say. And also, classmates would come, professors would come, and I always strive to, you know, do a little exercise, have a little bit of fun on the weekends. And I really hope that the veterinary students would grab onto that. I told them the most important thing is that we're still humans. We still have to have some joy, which is the theme. But what do you really think needs to be talked about at the veterinary schools about the mental health?
Well, I really didn't have a vocabulary to even understand what was going on in my own head while I was in vet school. I mean, rock bottom for me was probably the years leading up to clinics. I was just starting to find my way back to myself when I was in clinics and realizing that my demeanor and my way of being with people and the owners in the exam room and that kind of thing, that I really did have value in the profession. I was so caught up in my test scores and things like that, that I'd really, I devalued myself a lot and really got to a point of extreme self-loathing, suicidal constantly. Just, that's the only thing that felt good was the suicidal ideation. The idea that I had control over one thing while everything else felt like it was out of control. That was the one thing that gave me a sort of a comforting feeling to think about that. And so when that second year vet student committed suicide while I was in clinics, and my instinct was, this is too close to me right now. This is something that this could have happened to me, is what I thought. Oh. And it scared me. And I thought of the mountains and me hiking the Appalachian Trail, the time in my life where I felt the strongest and the most free. I thought of my grandma telling me that she had never seen a mountain, and I wanted to do something that would make me feel good and bring some light into my life, even if it was just for a weekend. And that was just my impulse. And we didn't know each other that we were estranged for 10 years. I know I'm kind of weaving in a lot of stuff here, but my point is that I was just going off of an instinct of how do I just like, where's my life raft right now to get through this? After I got out of vet school and I was already on this journey with Grandma Joy, and I knew that connection and purpose outside of work, cultivating those parts of myself outside of my profession that built me up. I didn't know that that's what I was doing, but that's why I was doing it. And then simultaneously, as I'm on this journey with Grandma Joy and I'm out working in veterinary medicine, and I'm, you know, so for some people, it happens when they're in, I think their perfectionism and everything, it catches up to them when they're in practice, it caught up to me in vet school. And I think that if I would have had Brené Brown books to read back then, or before I even went to vet school, or just as an example, I didn't know what imposter syndrome was until I read an article where Michelle Obama was talking about that. And then that allowed me to, you know, intellectualize it, understand that there are resources and strategies for coping with that kind of mental health problem. I think perfectionism is, we all probably know that that's probably the biggest one for most of us, because from the time I was, you know, very, very young, and I asked people, what does it take to become a veterinarian? Everybody I met in the profession described themselves as a perfectionist as a badge of honor, really. They carried that as a badge of honor that they are perfectionists. And I thought, well, that's what I want to be. I coveted that, and I integrated that into my being, really. And as I learned, you're going to burn your candle from both ends, and eventually there's nothing left. So I think that having social workers available, it's a great step, but it would be really great if we valued those type of courses and that kind of background to really help people when they're in vet school and beyond to understand what's coming and how to have healthy ways of striving without necessarily being a perfectionist.
Exactly. You know, I completely understand. And I remember getting into veterinary school, which is, again, all I've ever wanted to do, and thinking, you know, I'm pretty nifty and pretty smart, and everyone seems smarter. And yep. I realized, you know, very early on that I was going to need to navigate that. But I have to say, I am so happy that you were able to persevere, because that is a struggle. I just commend you for thinking about that mountain and making a plan, because that is the rate limiting step, that we have to acquiesce that this is the place we are at, and we have to find resources. I know that I have an employee assistance program for mental health. I know that the AVMA has a well-being seminar, a leadership conference. I did attend that. And so I also have done a lot of, since veterinary school, a lot of literature and a lot of focusing on how to improve, you know, my mental stability. But boy, as a student, that's a tough thing. And I'm really excited to hear that so many of the veterinary schools do have a social worker on staff. So I think that's something that I would really think the veterinary schools will embody, but also how to just be a little happy while we're going through this. It doesn't have to be all yes. awful, but it is something, like you said, once we get into practice, the struggle, you know, continues.
It is.
You don't know everything when we graduate. I've been out for 30 years, I must say, and I'm still learning every day. So I think those are wonderful comments, and I really do appreciate that. Do you really feel that mental health is a society-wide crisis?
Yeah. Yeah, and I actually think looking at this issue through the broader lens of society actually helps us as veterinarians, in my opinion. I think that if we try to get too special in our, or, you know, make ourselves too special in terms of our unique stressors, we're losing one of the tools to freedom, which is connection and finding that common ground with the universal struggles that we're all going through. You know, instead of trying to look outward at, you know, what are all these things that are happening that are unique to us and making us uniquely prone to it, I think it's healthier to just realize that, oh yeah, we're people too. Yeah. we're people too. And being vulnerable with people and not limiting that to people within your profession to have those kind of conversations. That's the faster track to healing. So if that makes sense, you know,
it does. Okay. I completely understand. And, you know, I will say as a practitioner, it has become exceedingly challenging the past 3 years. I do feel that for a certain population, you know, people have changed and they can be very, very challenging on a daily basis. And I think when I talk to other practitioners, the struggle is real, trying to adjust to that and also realize that we have boundaries because we are human. And there are times when I will say, you know what, to a client or even a staff member, you know what, I'm doing the best I can.
Yes, that's a good one.
Take a pause. And sometimes we just need to take that pause. I actually have in my own clinic here, I have what we call the quiet room. I have an anti-gravity chair. I've got those nice little dimmy lights. I've got some aromatherapy, nice cuddly blanket, some drawing things. So I will routinely, you know, ask somebody, how are you doing? Why don't you go to the quiet room? And I find myself in there. It's just my soothing spot. Yeah. And I really think that's an important thing, you know, because I do love what I do at, you know, as a veterinarian, but it is difficult days, you know, and we just find it, I have to find that balance. So I'm just curious, you know, you share, you know, obviously some insights into your personal background and things that have happened, traumas and whatnot, but what gave you the idea to, and the bravery to speak out nationally and becoming, you know, something on the speaker circuit, because you're all the rage, Dr. Ryan.
Nothing about this was intentional, really. No, because I didn't want to talk about this. For me, when the story went viral, I mean, it was very unexpected. We were halfway through our journey. It was a private journey. We were camping. We were eating ramen noodles, mandarin oranges.
Like, love it.
Poor man struggle. Traveling the country. And park by park, we were on this personal mission together. And it was just completely out of the blue that Acadia National Park saw a photo that I tagged my grandmother in. We're together and we're celebrating on Sand Beach in Acadia National Park with our arms outstretched. And it is a pure moment of joy. And Acadia they asked me to give them like a little blurb on what our journey was. And that was all it took for it to go to number one on the Feel Good thread on Reddit. And so within 24 hours, I went from 4 Instagram followers to, I forget how many, maybe 11,000 or something. And then I remember at the end of the work week, just curling up in the fetal position with a large pizza. And because I've never experienced that kind of spotlight. But as they were asking, I kept getting the same question every media interview. And we're talking like national press, right? Mm-hmm. How did this all begin? And I was skirting around my suicidal ideation and mental health and all of these things. I was just putting the spotlight on her and the fact that she'd never seen a mountain or an ocean, and that I was ready to just prove that you could lean into the possibilities for your age, and all that was true. But the reality is that it began because of a suicide that happened in veterinary school at my campus, and that I empathized all too much with what state of mind he was in when he made that decision. And so I didn't intend to, but that, once again, it's the shame of, and everybody has different shame triggers. For me, it's not being able to perform academically. I've disappointed my father with every sport he pushed me into. I can't sing. I can't dance. I'm not artistic in any way.
Neither am I. We have a lot in common, Dr. Brad.
Yeah, but it was getting those all A's and getting the $20 from my father, every report card, that made me feel validated as a person. And so it that worked for me as a life strategy until it didn't anymore.
I see.
And that was, you know, and that's when you're in the Olympics of vet school.
Exactly. Yeah. Olympics is a really good analogy.
And we'll continue with our fascinating conversation with Dr. Carlson and Dr. Ryan right after this.
Don't miss Dr. Brad Ryan's captivating and inspiring message of his mental health journey in veterinary medicine, recovery, and resilience through intergenerational support systems and the noble pursuit of a joy-driven life. Register today for the ISVMA's 141st Annual Convention. It's slated for Friday through Sunday, November 3rd to the 5th at the Tenley Park Convention Center in Tenley Park. Dr. Ryan will also be giving 4 additional presentations on Saturday, November
November 4th. And know that your ISVMA has booked 25 of the most knowledgeable presenters in the veterinary profession for this year's annual convention. To register, go to www.isvma.org. Register by clicking on the registration link in the annual convention banner on the homepage, or by clicking the ISVMA drop-down menu at the top of the screen, and then click the ISVMA event registration link. You can book your hotel room at the adjacent Even Hotel Chicago, Tinley Park. Simply click on the dedicated link on the ISVMA's homepage on the same green banner to make your room reservation. Be sure to use the code ISV to get the discounted convention rate. Or make your hotel reservation by calling 1-708-444-1100. That's 708-444-1100. See you in Tinley Park in November. Get that reservation in today.
You know, there shouldn't be any sort of stigma with getting therapy. And I actually laugh. You know what? I have a personal trainer. I have a therapist. And I try and normalize that. And I think that's another thing that, you know, when we talk about being perfectionists as veterinarians, we are we're definitely AAA batteries, as my father calls me. There's just no way around it. And I think when you have a certain layer of intelligence, we are going to be more critical. We are going to reflect on all aspects of our own self. So I think therapy is a great thing. I don't know if you've had any. I know I have. And I think that it's something that helps me really percolate. And I think that there's times when I'll say, you know what, I haven't seen my therapist in a couple of months. I'm just going to make an appointment just to kind of check in and go over things. Because when we really think about it, we need individuals that are in the judgment-free zone, you know, that really enable us to be our best selves. And I think therapy is a very important thing. So what are your thoughts on that?
I haven't had therapy. I want it. And I don't feel there should be no stigma around that, because it's just another tool for self-improvement. I think there are things about ourselves that we don't know. That's not a surprise to me that one day a light bulb was going to go off again, that I've had this, you know, and it's easier to get there sometimes when you have those wise guides leading you on that journey. So I'm all for it. When we were speaking earlier about, you know, the universality of mental health and why I think it's important to widen your lens, that doesn't negate the fact that there are some unique challenges and stressors that we're facing in our profession. And I want to acknowledge that too. Okay. And so I think that is an important reason to consider therapy, to be able to acknowledge that sometimes this is really, really heavy.
Yes, it really is. And I must say, some days I feel like I am a bit of a therapist in my practice. You know, clients really like to tell us everything. And I find it much more, you know, commonplace than, you know, I don't know if they tell their dentist everything, probably not, because they have something in their mouth. But, you know, I'm just curious, what do you see as your future in veterinary medicine? I mean, what other sort of careers do you have ahead of you? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, the great thing about what I'm doing right now is, you know, I'm connecting with veterinarians all over the United States. And yes, I'm going in there to talk about fecal parasitology or feline renal disease or preventive medicine. I talk about these topics, but I always begin a presentation with a 5-minute mental health discussion. Just a short introduction of who I am, why this matters to me. I have never been in a hospital where it didn't completely immediately shift the energy in the room. There was a difference immediately in the eye contact that I had. People are hungry for this conversation.
We are. Absolutely.
And I'm not surprised by that, because the entire time I was in vet school, I was just desperate for one person to stand up in front of that auditorium and say, I struggle sometimes.
Right.
Just a lot sometimes. And nobody was saying that. And I think everybody just has their armor on, right, trying to give this impression of who they are and that they're tough enough and they can handle everything on their shoulders at once at all times. And that's what we're expected to be.
Exactly.
So that's what we're showing. And yet we're suffering in silence. I'm going to take this platform as far as I can. I'm writing a book about Grandma Joy's road trip. I plan to continue to take this message, not just to vet schools and veterinary conferences like ISVMA, but also to corporate America at large. So I'm always going to be a veterinarian, always going to be very passionate about animal health and the interface with public health. That's my real bread and butter. But I think that all of this played out the way it did. So, you know, I need to ride that wave and take it where it will, because I do think, you know, I'm not the only person that's going to end up being prominent in the area of mental health and veterinary medicine. We need the more people that are speaking about this, the better, honestly.
Exactly. I could not agree more. And I really applaud you. And I look forward to reading your book when it comes out. And I'm hoping you'll come speak at my clinic. I think that's great. So, you know, next, I would really like to hear about what is next for you and Grandma Joy. I just did a little Googling and I did see the picture that you referred to with your arms up with joy. Oh, yeah. It was my favorite picture. And I see that after the 63 national parks, next up are all the continents. So where are you going next, Dr. Ryan?
Well, Grandma Joy got her passport this year. We were on the Tamron Hall show last December, and they kind of told us a little white lie and said that we were there just to talk about it's never too late or whatever that is, or mm-hmm. whatever, something along that line. And then we walk right up on the stage and it's Santa's workshop. And so they gave us a really, really beautiful National Geographic safari in Kenya that we did this summer. Yeah.
Wonderful. I saw some of those pictures. Yeah.
Then we went back for the season premiere just a couple weeks ago, and now they're sending us to the Galapagos. So they're supporting us with the seven continent goal. After 63, I needed a smaller number. Mental health.
Exactly. You really are inspirational.
Thank you. And you too. And like I said, it's really exciting just to see the shift that's happening. I have to remind myself that this is not 10 years ago when I started vet school, you know, and
things are much different. I must say, down at U of I, they really are just trying to, onboard the mental health. They really, you know, with the students, I don't think they have a social worker on staff yet, like some other schools, but they're really trying to facilitate that as much as possible, you know. And I was down there speaking with veterinary student leaders, talked about the whole mental health piece. And again, I really just think this is such an important topic. I know last year, within a 6-month period, there was 3 suicides in my general area. And that's just, it's just unacceptable. And I know between the cyberbullying and all of the other issues we're facing, we just need help.
We certainly have some unique challenges as a profession that we have to acknowledge and have strategies for coping with those unique things.
I was reading an NOMB post yesterday. Poor woman was at Trader Joe's with her daughter, 3 years old, and she had on a t-shirt, something veterinarian. And a man literally started accosting her, saying how expensive we were, and just out of the blue. And she's trying to walk away with her child and he followed her. Now, I'm half Sicilian, so to be perfectly honest, I might have thrown like a carrot at him or something, and just a loaf of bread. But, you know, that's just unacceptable that people feel that entitled. And I didn't want to make this too harsh, but
I know you mean
entitled and mean, just mean. So I have fired clients left and right. I have a zero tolerance on verbal abuse.
That's something that's changing too, I think. And I would honestly, when we talk about, you know, what's it going to take to get us where we need to be, I wish that I would have known those kind of things before I graduated. That goes on the checklist for whether I'm going to accept a job somewhere or not.
Exactly.
Are you going to stand up for me?
Exactly. And I do all the time, but I really appreciate it. I think this was great. And I can't wait to meet you in November.
Likewise. I'll try to bring Grandma if I can. I'll try.
Oh, please. Where do you live?
So I'm in Ohio, but I don't work in Ohio.
I see. Okay. I can't wait to meet you. If I can meet Grandma Joy too, because like I said, I really enjoyed her travels and I love the joy she brings to other people. And I'm so glad you persevered through veterinary school and all that nonsense
go
through. Not nonsense, but you know what I'm saying. It's a lot of hoopla, you know, to get to our dreams. So I really applaud.
It is.
I love traveling. So believe me, I'm always planning my next trip. So
we're changing in that way too. I think that, that people are starting to realize that life is long. If we want it to be, we don't have to sit on the couch and wait to die. Let's get out and have some adventures along the way. Yeah.
Anyway,
we need to get to Europe too, but yeah.
When you are our speaker at the Illinois State Veterinary Medical Association, I am just so excited. November 3rd to the 5th is our conference, and Dr. Ryan will be there on Saturday speaking. So I really hope that the listeners that are ISVMA members or those that are not, come out, register for the conference, because We need a whole lot more of Dr. Ryan. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Thank you very much, doctors, Dr. Ryan and Dr. Carlson, for your time today. We really appreciate it. Fascinating conversation. And thanks to our many dedicated listeners from all over the globe for continuing to join us. And to all of our new listeners as well, please join us again soon for our next episode to be released in the very near future. I'm Joey McLaughlin. Thanks for joining us on Veterinary Today.